We may say, yes, all scripture is equally important. However, I suspect I'm not the only person here who, when the reading comes from Leviticus, finds that your heart sinks and you think, oh no, there are, oh yes, I know it's the word of God, but there are some bits that, some books of scripture that I rather dread when they come around on my due to be read. And I certainly feel that with the book of Leviticus. But I've focused on these two verses in chapter 19, which David read to us, because those who started International Care Network, which was long before I started going there, so this was about 18, 19 years ago, with a group of Christians in Bournemouth who were coming across Afghans and Albanians who had been placed into cheap hotels in Bournemouth and were desperately unhappy. And that was the beginnings of ICN, befriending them and beginning to take care of them. And this verse was the one that was the inspiration from Scripture for this group of Christians. And it was taken as it were, as a mandate. This is what God was calling ICN into being in order to do. The alien. Alien is a slightly, it conjures up pictures of little green men, doesn't it? But I think that's just a change in the language since the NIV was written. Just shows how rapidly our language changed. Let's just use the word foreigner. The foreigner living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, sexist as well. For you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This is a command that comes, I think it's around 30 times in the Old Testament. So it's not just here in the book of Leviticus. It's very often it comes associated with a command to care for widows and orphans. So widows, orphans, and foreigners are often a trio together. And of course, the thing that they have in common is in a culture, a cultural background, which for most of the world still exists, less so in our own country, is where is your principal means of support and encouragement? It's your family. And if you've not got your family, you've not got support around you. And so that's the common, as it were, vulnerability of these three groups of people. This verse, and almost every time that the same command is given in respect to the followers, of foreigners, gives a reason as well. It says, love him as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. You people of Israel, the Old Testament writers say to their readers, you must never forget that where you come from, you come from being slaves in Egypt. That's where I found you as a people, God says, and brought you out to the promised land. And you're never to forget that. And one of the ways in which you don't forget that is you're to care for those who are foreigners among you. And it's not just foreigners because you're ethnically different, but those who are religiously different too, because this is, God is addressing the people of the covenant, his own people, and saying, you've got to care for those who are not people of the covenant, those who are religiously foreign as well as ethnically foreign. Now, there will be people here who've lived in different cultures for a time, and you will know because you have experienced the culture shock that comes, maybe the loneliness that comes, maybe the feeling of being sort of adrift at sea and not understanding what's going on around you in being in a different culture. And particularly if you've done that in an area which was religiously different as well. And so there should be, for those who've been in that position, that echo, yes, I need, because God cared for me there, I need to care for others now who are strangers in my own culture. There's something else that comes in this verse as well. It's the end of it. It finishes off with this statement, I am the Lord your God. And if you look back through the chapter, the whole of chapter 19, it's punctuated, not every verse, it's full of little commands. But many of them are punctuated with, I am the Lord. What's going on here? Is it God is giving us a list of do's and don'ts and saying to us, I'm the boss, therefore you need to do exactly what I say? Well, if it is that, he's well entitled to. God is the boss. He is entitled to tell us what's right and wrong and what we should be doing and what we shouldn't. But I don't think that's the issue here. If you look back, if you've got a Bible open, if you look back at verse 1 of this chapter, Leviticus 19, I don't know what page number it is because I'm using a different version, 121, but you've got here what introduces the whole chapter. Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. You must be holy, not just because I say so, but because I am holy, and your character and your behavior are in a way to reflect mine, to echo mine. That's God's word. That is God's word to his people. And so when you've got this repeated refrain, verse after verse, through chapter 19, I am the Lord, it's not just saying, do this because I say so. It's saying, do this because this is what I do. This is the sort of God that I am. So when it comes to saying, you must care for the stranger, you must care for the foreigner who lives among you. Why? Because I do, says God. I care for the vulnerable groups in society, and I care for the foreigner. You are to be like me. So, at International Care Network, how do we do that? By the way, I just want to say thank you, because I know there's some of you will be fairly recently come to All Saints, but some of you have been in All Saints for a long, long time, and I know that you, as a church, have supported ICN in prayer, in giving, and in and particularly in the food bank over a long period of time. Food bank we don't need so much now. Circumstances change with the particular people that we're helping. But thank you for all that you have done for ICN over the years. And what do we do at ICN? How do we take this verse? I think one of the things it doesn't say you must tolerate the stranger among you. It says you must love him. And you must love him as yourself. There's an echo, an earlier verse in the same chapter, verse 18, is a well-known verse because it's one that's taken by Jesus as a pillar of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then verse 34, love the stranger, the foreigner, as yourself. That's quite startling. We know the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus says, well, actually, it's that foreigner, that Samaritan, who's a sort of half foreigner, is your neighbor. So in the light of the Good Samaritan, this isn't so strange to us. But if you didn't know the parable of the Good Samaritan, who is my neighbor? Well, it's the person next door, person in my town, the person who thinks like me, looks like me, person I'm at ease with. But back in Leviticus 19, it's the foreigner. It's the stranger, is the neighbor, who we are to love as ourselves. How do we seek to do that? The first thing is a welcome. You cannot but be aware of the floods of people coming across Europe in the last 2 years in particular, running away from war and disaster in different parts of the Middle East, facing unimaginable dangers on the journey. And some ending up in the United Kingdom, and some of those in this part of the UK. The command of God is to welcome. How do we seek to do that? We do that in all kinds of ways. Some of them are outlined on the back of the service sheet, so I won't go into them in any great detail, but there's teaching and there's advice giving and there's all kinds of ways in which we encourage people to integrate, encourage people to understand how we work in Britain. There is speaking up for people who've got no voice of their own, perhaps because they haven't got the language or the cultural understanding. So it might be going to a school with them, or going to a tribunal with them, or going to a housing benefit office with them, or something like that, to speak for people who are not able to express themselves very well. Welcoming can include protection. We see a lot of people who are subject to domestic abuse for one reason or another. And very often it's the immigration status, the fact that they are foreign, is used as an element of abuse. So a woman arrives and husband says, oh, yes, I'll sort out your status. I'll send off your papers to the Home Office. And, oh, I didn't quite manage to do it. And, well, actually, you do need to do what I tell you, because if I just pick up the phone to the Home Office, you know, you'll be on the next plane back home. Your children were left here. It is actually completely untrue that. One of the things the Home Office, we didn't usually think of the Home Office doing much well, but one of the things they do well is where there are where there is domestic abuse, and people are treated properly there. But people don't necessarily understand that, somebody who is on the receiving end of it. One of the groups that we've been welcoming this year are the families of Syrians. So far, the Syrian families that we have seen this year have been those coming to join families who are already, or coming to join a member of the family who's already here. And there have been various ways in which they've been able to welcome. One in particular that's worked very well is there is a vicarage not far from here that is no longer needed for as a vicarage, and that has been given to a Syrian family with the blessing of the diocese, and the church community around there has been absolutely tremendous in giving support and a welcome to this family. You will know that there is a government scheme to bring in 20,000 Syrians over the next 5 years. There have been 4,000 who have arrived so far into the UK, and Dorset is to receive its first two families, comprising 10 people, on Tuesday. It's a flight into Bristol, and they are to be going to be placed in Weymouth. So as you pray for these two families, that they may receive a good Weymouth welcome as they come on Tuesday. We know exactly who they are and the size of the families and so on. And the Swanage Action for Refugees group hope that in the next few months, Dorset will be receiving more. We hope that some may be able to come to Dorset. The need is accommodation. So spare holiday house or something like that that could be used. Talk to Nick if you've got just a spare bit of accommodation up your sleeve or know of something suitable around the corner. So the first thing that we seek to do is a welcome. The second thing that I've put down, you know, every good preacher has three points that all begin with the same letter, and it's walking the distance, walking with people. Now, many people that come to our ICN offices have a particular problem. We're able to address that problem. They say, thank you very much, bye-bye, and we don't see them again. And that's fine. But there are many that we build up long relationships, long-term relationships with over the years. Sometimes it's because of repeated problems. So this week I had a meal one evening with a Kurdish friend who I've known for 13 years, and he's now settled, he's now a British citizen, he's had his own business and this and that. In some ways things are going well, but in some ways they're not, and it was actually quite a saddening experience because he's not really fitted in, not really made a great success of life here, and has seemed to be dogged by bad luck of one kind or another. And it's just, it's staying the distance with somebody like then. I don't know how I can help this particular person, except by continuing to befriend and to know him. There are other people. There's a yesterday was the birthday of a young woman from a North African country who was running away from her home country because she feared being forced into marriage with an older man by her father, and she did not want this, and she claimed asylum. And it was refused. It went through an appeal process, went round and round the roundabouts through an appeal court. There were at least three different hearings. And this summer, she was granted refugee status. The whole process took 4 or 5 years. And it was lovely to see her about a week ago, really happy and joyful and looking forward and with hopes and ambitions and wanting to go to university, wanting to study, and it was great. But we've actually walked the distance with her over a number of years of where she's been low, she's been depressed, she's had waiting and waiting and waiting because the Home Office does not usually work very quickly. I think of another man whom we've been walking with for longer, who also got refugee status this summer from Tibet. And a colleague of mine in particular befriended him and has stood by him in year after year. The whole process took, I think, about 7 or 8 years since we first came to him to get a resolution to his status. So there is the standing with people. And I think often as Western people, we're centered around a problem or an issue, and we say, if I can sort out the problem, then I'm happy. If I can't sort out the problem, then what am I doing? But actually, most people around the world don't think like that. They are centered around people rather than around issues. And for most people, the thing that matters is not, I mean, of course it's good if you can sort out their problem, and it's disappointing if you can't. But the thing that matters is that you stand alongside them, that you befriend and you stick with them over a period of, often a long period of time. We walk the distance with people. And my third W is that we watch what God is doing through the ministry of ICN, and not necessarily through the ministry of ICN, but in the lives of people around. Sometimes it can be very simple things, like one of my colleagues who works with different groups of women she came in last week and said, this is so exciting, because here was this Syrian lady who comes along to this group, and here was this Turkish lady who comes along to the same group. And instead of just sort of being centered around the group and it coming through the ICN people, they've started to make friends with each other. And that's great. That's wonderful. It's the creating of community. A Kurdish guy I saw this week, he came in and said to me something like this. I try to help other people. Why do I try and help other people? It's because when I had nobody, there were people like you guys at ICN, but other people as well, who helped me when they didn't know me. They weren't my friends, but they helped me. And therefore, I'm trying to help others where I can. That too is the work of God in that man's life. We do see that God is doing things that are more sort of obviously spiritual as well. One of the big groups of people that we see are Zimbabweans, and virtually every Zimbabwean is thoroughly embedded into a church of some description in or around the place, and they are always delighted to be prayed with or prayed for in many of the difficult issues that they face. Perhaps the most remarkable thing that we see God doing is among Iranians, those from the Islamic Republic of Iran. There has been the most remarkable turning to Christ among, it's probably hundreds of thousands of Iranians, both in Iran and in the Iranian exiles who are scattered around the world. Quite why? How? I'm not entirely sure. But it's there, and it's real. I think of the Iranians, I see a lot of Iranians, and nearly all the Iranians who come into our office in Bournemouth would now claim to be Christian. Not completely, and some, you know, one's got, I wonder quite how deep this is, but, you know, one wonders that about a number of people. One wonders it about oneself, too. And there are others who would simply say, "No, I'm not really anything very much, but I'm definitely not a Muslim anymore." It presents an interesting spectacle at an asylum appeal, because many of the Iranians who become Christians have become Christians through dreams. Jesus has appeared to them in dreams and in visions. And I, as a Westerner, I find this rather strange, but this is so. And this is presented as testimony at an asylum appeal, and the judges just don't know how to quite cope with this. Do we believe this? And yet the evidence is there of lives that are changed because they have met with Jesus. We see a lot of Afghans. We've seen a little bit of the same sort of thing among Afghans, not to the same extent, but it is so with some of the Afghans that we see. The Kurds are the group that are, I think, are probably closest to my heart, the ones that I've got to know best over the years, and I'm still looking. So we're watching what God will do. In other words, I haven't seen the same kind of evidence of God at work among Kurdish people as I have among the others. But I think he's going to. I think he's going to, and I'm not quite sure when. But that is, I hope that I will live to see it. Those are the sorts of things, therefore, that we do at ICN. There are one or two more specifics on the sheet that are on the back that you can look. The welcome, the walking the distance, and the watching what God is doing. That's what we are about. And we want that to be, in a sense, our way of obedience to those verses in Leviticus 19. The foreigner living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Amen.